This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Wednesday, April 28th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, San Miguel County Sheriff responds to suspicious activity at Norwood School. Telluride prepares for COVID summer take two. Henry Mitchell sets sights on new adventure and a mountain weather forecast. San Miguel County Sheriff deputies responded to a call from a Norwood School District staff member last week after an unknown man was on school property. Norwood School District Superintendent Ken Lawrence sent a letter to families regarding the incident on Monday. According to the letter, a man was walking on the football field last Thursday after school hours. As the incident took place later in the day, most of the children had left. However, some children of school district staff were playing in the area. Lawrence says the man approached one of the children and began talking to them through the fence, separating the field from the playground. Around that time, the child's mother, a school staff member, called them to go home. The child told their parent about the conversation and she called the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office responded to the call, found the man, questioned him, and told him to stay away from the school. According to San Miguel County Sheriff Bill Masters, it doesn't appear a crime occurred during the incident, but he encourages the community to feel comfortable contacting the sheriff's office if a situation arises. Lawrence notes student safety is the school's top priority, and he assures families it is safe to send their children to school. In the letter, Lawrence says the district will keep an eye out for the person and call the sheriff if they return. COVID summer number two will be here before we know it. At a work session on Tuesday, Telluride Town Council discussed what the summer will look like when it comes to festivals and events. To start off, one event is off the table. Mayor Delaney Young.
There is no picnic for 4th of July. There are also no fireworks, knowing that none of us that I have spoken to can come up with any logical or coherent way to mitigate anywhere from 8 to 20,000 people for a 4th of July parade.
So official events for the 4th are out for a second year. But what will smaller events or event regulations look like as we move forward? To some extent, it's too early to tell, according to San Miguel County Public Health Director Grace Franklin.
Through the end of May, we're requiring capacity limits for indoors, 6-foot distancing for outdoor events. We've also added any event over 500 people is required to consult with public health and the appropriate municipalities. We don't know what the future is going to look like, and it's really important that we only have as much restriction as needed to maintain a healthy community.
The state is relaxing public health measures even further starting mid-May, but San Miguel County and local municipalities are allowed to adopt more restrictive measures than the state. To that point, Franklin says San Miguel County residents and visitors should expect to continue wearing masks in public space through the summer. On Tuesday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced guidelines stating that people do not need to wear masks while outside alone or in small groups. But the CDC does note even those who are vaccinated should continue to wear masks and maintain distance when in large crowds, such as concerts and sporting events, and while indoors at places like shopping malls or movie theaters. During the work session, Parks and Recreation Director Stephanie Jacquet look to council for guidance on town limitations and regulations for events. But with so much still up in the air, the general theme of the conversation ended with, let's play it by ear, or on a case-by-case basis. When it comes to events that don't have clear boundaries and mixes participants with the public, think the Balloon Fest, Mushroom Fest Parade, or a street dance, Jacquet suggests leaving it up to the event organizers to decide what this summer could look like.
Having heard what the public health context is likely to be through, we'll call it summer and not fall at this point, does that give them a way to reformat and operate safely, or do they want to take a year off, or or look to postpone. So that's where I'm getting with it. And I think we all understand the concerns of how you're going to manage event people at an event, plus people with the public if you're in a parade and you don't have clear boundaries. But I think there's an opportunity for some creativity as well.
Council unanimously supported giving flexibility to event organizers to work with Parks and Rec and Public Health to determine how to move forward on a case-by-case basis. Next question. Should the town of Telluride place additional regulations, more restrictive than anticipated state or county orders, and place an event capacity on larger festivals or events this summer? For Councilmember Adrienne Christie, she understands the urge to have a blanket rule for all events this summer, but she's not sure it will truly help.
It's going to be labor intensive on staff and county and festivals, regardless of a rule that we set today, potentially. And so I don't feel like the town should be any more restrictive than the county or the state with regard to events on our property. I think that the county and the state are the experts on this, and we should follow their lead.
Council unanimously agreed to follow regulations at the state or county level when it comes to larger events, with no event cap, as long as the event falls within COVID protocols and restrictions. So with the work session done, plans for the summer still look a bit muddy. The town will work with events as they come up and gauge management requirements and COVID protocols as the country, state, and county have more information on where the pandemic is going. It's a case of hurry up and wait. On Tuesday, Council also passed several other ordinances and resolutions related to COVID summer number 2. Council approved a continuation of takeout alcohol and public consumption through the summer. It also approved reducing the speed limit on Main Street from 15 miles per hour to 7 miles per hour between Willow and Aspen, although not without discussion and mixed opinions from Council and the public. Councilmember Jesse Ray Arguelles is in support of the change.
We've got kids on bikes and scooters and pedestrians everywhere, and people aren't going 15. So maybe if we make it 7, they might go 15. I don't know.
But Councilmember Tom Watkinson says he's heard from a number of residents against the change. He believes enforcing the speed limit is a better option than reducing it.
That enforcement could actually happen, you know, right outside of Clark's, around the school area, or even just past the electronic sign on Main Street on the west end around Townsend or something like that. But I think it's more about maybe police presence and enforcement of the 15 is a better idea than just going to this random speed of 7.
During public comment, Dave Valentine spoke in opposition. He says the logistics of driving 7 miles per hour will make it hard not to speed.
I tried driving at 7 miles an hour, and it's kind of difficult on even having the, I might have to adjust my idle just so I don't have my foot on, even with the foot on the gas. I'd be more in favor of a 10 mile an hour.
From a law enforcement perspective, Chief Marshal Josh Compt says the Marshal's Department won't be sticklers on the speed, and he supports the change.
I mean, we're not typically writing somebody a ticket on Main Street for going 16 or 17. Same reason we want to write them going for 8 or 9, you know, so we're hoping to get people down to that 10 range, especially with the amount of people that we expect to be sitting down in parklets, as well as the pedestrians just walking the street that aren't always following the rules with crosswalks and bikes running up and down Main Street as well. So anything we can do to help lower the amount of the speed that cars are driving, I think would be beneficial.
In a 5-1 vote, Council supported the speed limit change. Councilmember Watkinson voted against. Councilmember Lars Carlson was not in attendance of the meeting. However, he has previously opposed the speed limit change. The speed limit on Main Street between Willow and Aspen will drop to 7 miles per hour starting on Saturday, May 1st. The speed limit change will automatically sunset on October 30th, 2021. It was April 2017 when Henry Mitchell moved to Telluride to take the job as emergency manager for San Miguel County.
I was working in Boulder at Mental Health Partners as an emergency manager there, doing like disaster behavioral health stuff. And a friend of mine at a regional staff meeting, he tapped me on the shoulder. He was like, "Hey, have you heard of Telluride?" I was like, "Yeah, I heard of Telluride. They film movies there. It's Skin and all this other stuff. It's pretty cool. It's neat." And he's like, "Well, there's a job there for emergency manager, and you should look at it.
Look at it, he did. He held the position for 4 years and quickly became an integral member of San Miguel County. But now, almost 4 years later to the day, Mitchell is heading back to Boulder to become an emergency management coordinator at the Boulder Office of Emergency Management. When Mitchell chose to come to Telluride, he was excited to get some hands-on experience in a small community.
I knew in frontier communities, a lot of the emergency management organizations are one-person shows or very, you know, small groups. And so everyone would have to wear a lot of hats. And so if I moved out here, I knew that there would be like fire issues that I would have to really like dig my fingers into, and like mudslides and flood issues that I would really have to dig my fingers into, and like all this other stuff that I knew I would get lots of good operational experience and like use my skills and my brain.
Over the past 4 years, Mitchell has definitely gotten that operational experience from working at the center of San Miguel County's COVID pandemic response to assisting Hinsdale County during floods and mudslides, the Horse Park fire on the West End. He loves high-stress situations where everyone is coming together and working towards one common goal. At a Board of County Commissioners meeting last week, some of those people he's worked with over the years shared their appreciation for all Mitchell has done for the county. San Miguel County Sheriff Bill Masters started it off.
We are in such great shape having him here and developing the plans that he has. And we're going to have a really hard time filling his shoes.
Masters went on to present Mitchell with a token of the community.
Henry, I just want to remind you of the old days when people left Telluride. The old miners, they always hammered a silver dollar to their cabin so they could pry that silver dollar as they left town to pay the toll off of the last dollar road. So, and those were Morgan silver dollars, which I happen to have one. So I'm going to give that to you as your last dollar. I hope you spend it wisely.
County Commissioner Hillary Cooper, along with the other members of the Board of County Commissioners, shared their gratitude as well.
It just felt safer knowing that you were here taking care of us. So thanks for being here. Thanks for blessing us with the last couple of years within the county and within the community at large. And you've left a lasting impression, and we won't forget you. And they're lucky to get you. It's our loss, their gain.
County Manager Mike Bordonia highlighted Mitchell's ability to work with people from across the county and region, noting the door is always open for him to come back.
He met folks where they were at and what kind of level of understanding they needed and helped to elevate us all in that regard. And we're going to miss you dearly and wish you the best in Boulder. And when you get tired of too many people and the traffic level, we'll be excited to welcome you back.
As for what Mitchell will miss the most about San Miguel County?
The pozole at La Cocina. Just kidding. I think that, you know, the sense of community here.
It's that sense of community Mitchell wants everyone to fight for.
I just, you know, want y'all to continue to keep Telluride how you want it. And I want people to know that they too have a voice. And you have some great representatives who, you know, we'll listen to you. And if you show that this is a need for our community, they'll push to make it happen. So, like, this is your community. And if you want it to go this way or that way, let people know and be involved.
Mitchell had his final day with San Miguel County last week. He will start his new position in Boulder in May. With 60-degree days forecasted for this weekend, summer is closer and closer by the week. But for the Telluride School District Administration, it's already time to think about August and prepare for the next school year. KOTO's Matt Hoisch has more on the latest plans for the district.
This year, the hope is back to school means back to normal. Well, sort of.
We're planning to be as much back to what I would call normal operation as possible, but I don't want to define normal operation as status quo.
That's Telluride School District Superintendent John Pandolfo speaking at a district accountability meeting earlier this week. That return to not quite the pre-COVID status quo means a couple things. Remote learning will still be an option for those who want it, Pandolfo explains, but he expects all students will have the option for in-person instruction.
Increasing staff vaccinations, increasing public vaccinations, and you know many of the other things that are happening, we're feeling pretty comfortable that, again, we'll be able to be back to that kind of normal operation.
Currently, vaccines are only available to those 16 and older. Early results from trials show effectiveness in 12 to 15-year-olds, but the district, Pandolfo explains, has no plans to require COVID vaccines, barring any government mandates.
People need to make the best decisions for themselves and for their families. So I don't believe as vaccinations become more available for the younger age groups that we're going to have any district-specific requirement.
Masking is still up in the air, but Pandolfo says the district assumes people will still be wearing them in the fall. The district is also looking at loosening other COVID precautions, such as allowing more mixing of different cohorts and more sharing of common supplies.
Nothing is absolutely certain, and some of this could change soon before the school year starts. But our hope is, again, we continue moving in the direction of a less restrictive environment rather than a more restrictive environment.
COVID testing for students may continue, depending on what federal funding looks like.
Our staff testing is really tailing off. I don't necessarily see that we would continue that, but given that it may be quite a while before students are, you know, vaccinated or whatever, it doesn't hurt to have that data. And we currently are able to test our students really with us only paying for some additional labor.
Bus capacity will depend on decisions at the state level. Currently, Pandolfo notes, the district is filling buses at one-third capacity and running an extra route. One COVID change that will stick is the improved filtration systems the district invested in during the pandemic.
That's something I think that just makes our, you know, the learning environment for everyone and the work environment for our staff healthier.
Of course, no plans during COVID can be certain, but this week's meeting is an early snapshot of a promising path back to school. At this week's meeting, Pandolfo also announced Rex Librand will take over as college counselor from departing counselor Karen Lavender. Librand currently teaches science for the district.
Over a year after shuttering its doors to the public, the Wilkinson Public Library will be flinging them open once again, more than they already are. Starting next week, the library will be expanding its hours to be open from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and noon to 5 on Sunday. No appointments will be necessary, and there will be no capacity limits on the number of people in the building. Patrons will be able to browse books, use computers, printers, copiers, and meeting rooms, in addition to fingerprinting, passport, and notary services. But not all the COVID changes will be going away. Curbside pickup will still continue. The library also notes they look forward to bringing more in-person programming back, including story times and wellness classes. The new library hours will go into effect on Monday, May 3rd. Gone are the days of showing up at the Mary E. Campground and getting a sight. The Grand Mesa Uncompahgre and Gunnison National Forests announced this week the Mary E. Campgrounds outside of Telluride will be shifting to a fee-based system starting this summer. According to the GMUG, the rising popularity of dispersed camping, in addition to increased visitation to Telluride, has led to unwelcome impacts to the campground. With the fee system, campsites will go for roughly $15 per night, but according to the GMUG, there will also be more campsites available. The change to a fee system is accompanied by improvements around the campsite, including road upgrades, fire rings, toilet and trash services, day-use parking, and picnic areas. The fee system for Mary E. will go into effect on June 25th. Facility improvements will take place throughout June and July. Governor Jared Polis says Colorado's coronavirus numbers have become bleak, with cases rising most rapidly among middle and high school students. KOTO's Scott Franz has more.
Polis blames the outbreaks on vaccinated parents venturing out more with their unvaccinated children to socialize. The number of people in the hospital is also the highest it has been in months. Still, Polis says he is not planning any new restrictions. Instead, he is promoting vaccines as supply is starting to outpace demand.
It's not a resistance to vaccine issue. It is what you might call a hesitancy or laziness issue. It's people who've, and we know this from research, they will get the vaccine, but it's not immediate in their minds.
The state is now offering vaccines without appointments at six large sites to try and reach that population. It is also sending two buses to distribute shots in remote areas. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for a chance of snow showers tonight with mostly clear skies and a low around 30 degrees. Thursday should be sunny during the day and clear at night with a high near 60 degrees and a low around freezing. Friday, expect sunny skies with a high in the mid-60s. Friday night calls for mostly clear skies with a low around 35 degrees. This has been the news for Wednesday, April 28th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. And now, a personal commentary.
Hi, this is Sarah Kimball calling from Telluride High School to do the senior spotlights. I've got five kids we're going to highlight. First up is Margot Lovely. Margot certainly leads a very active life. She's a true scholar athlete and can be found on the basketball court or the soccer field. In addition, she has been remarkably successful in the classroom, as she has challenged herself with 10 AP courses and has excelled in each one of them. Her interests are eclectic, but she pursues each one with a singular passion. She volunteers at the Pinhead Institute, she's a peer advocate through the Resource Center, and she spends time tirelessly lobbying for a much-needed teen center with Tri-County's Communities That Care group. Thanks, Margot. Sean O'Dell. Sean might as well be the mayor of Telluride. Sean greets each individual with a glowing smile and song, but ensure you must be paying attention because you must participate in the song. In addition to his positive personality, Sean is also a hard worker who completes an array of jobs at the school and in the community. He is a kind and loving man that loves Christmas carols and a good joke. He loves music, art, and knows everyone's name is in the building. He is the glue to Telluride School District. He has friends and fans across grade levels, and we're so lucky to have him. Delaney Spires. Delaney is a very accomplished artist across a range of media. She's an award-winning poet and writer. She shows leadership on our peer leadership team and was the captain of our cross-country team. Delaney is very bright and has challenged herself with a rigorous curriculum and founded our very first literary magazine, Chair 9. Delaney is a true animal lover and has a magical touch with creatures of all sorts, but her true love is horses, caring for and equine related. She's even gone so far as to establish her own horse rescue charity. Madeline Herman. Madeline Herman's record of achievement over the past 4 years has been consistently exceptional. She has taken a full load of advanced placement courses. She has received outstanding achievement awards in both humanities and STEM classes, and she has twice been chosen by the faculty as our Student of the Month. She possesses such an unabashed enthusiasm for learning. She attacks her coursework with the same zeal that informs her runs during a big mountain ski competition. Madeline is an avid and insightful reader and an absolutely lovely writer. She is a soccer player and musician, and she is keenly interested in politics and issues of social justice. And then last up tonight is Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy approaches life with humor and honesty. He is good-natured and a hard worker. He is a friend to all and a protector of his family and those he cares for. He also knows that he wants to enter the trades, possibly as a plumber for his career. Jimmy brings smiles to the faces of those around him, and he has a great ability to befriend everyone. His personality will be missed in the halls of Telluride High School. So I want to thank you guys and let people know we've been doing the sponsor senior, and we have 6 seniors left that still need sponsors. So if anyone's interested in sponsoring a senior, please contact me at the school. Thank you.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You are also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you would like to comment, please contact a staff person here at KOTO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.